Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'm doing the cleanup. This is on the ending of the marriage, and it's a transition from marriage to prayer. And you'll see in just a moment the two are connected. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth.'" God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, let's read that again. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I asked the sound man if he would make me exciting this morning. Because I want to salute every young parent in this place. Because during the youth camp, we kept Jennifer and Kirby's 2-year-old, 4-year-old, and 5-year-old for 3 days. Come on, somebody. So I told the salesman, I said, "Could you make me a ball of fire this morning? Just make me excited because my body doesn't feel like it, but make me exciting." And I may be a little bit loud. I may get the next one. Yeah. But watch this. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I want to talk to you today about the image of God. Everybody say that. Say the image of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your truth that supersedes everything else that you know. Father, you're not practicing. You created us. You're the creator. You know us, our design that you made us to be. Thank you for making them male and female, Lord, in your image. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. You can be seated. What you may know around the country, and you've got little bits of it here and there, is there is an attack on the image of God. And I want you to listen. Here is a survey they did at a certain college, but it really is a sample of across our nation. And watch this video this morning. We'll go from there. Watch.
In light of all the conversation about gender and identity, we began to wonder if there's even a difference between men and women anymore. We went to Seattle University to find out.
Aware of the conversation going on in Washington State right now around kind of gender identity, gender expression issues, and the ability to access facilities on those grounds?
There's gender neutral bathrooms and like all the dorms and stuff like that.
I think that gender is fluid, so if you want to use a bathroom because that's a place and that's a space where you feel comfortable and safe in doing so, then I think that that's completely fine.
I think that if whoever you think you are, if you're male or female, then that's the bathroom you should go into.
I think if it doesn't really negatively affect anybody, then I think anyone should be able to choose what gender they choose to identify as.
People, no matter what their gender identification is, they should be allowed to use whatever restrooms they feel that they identify with.
Is there a difference in your mind between men and women?
No, yes. I mean,
possibly? In general, yes. But I don't know why I think that.
Socially, currently, yes, there is. There is no need for that difference to exist, scientifically and logically.
If you think that you're a male, if you think that you're a female, that matters more than the biological difference.
There's not much difference besides what society forces onto people.
And how do you know the difference between men and women?
By what people think they are. So you can't like judge someone just on like their looks.
I don't think there's any one way to really distinguish between a man or a woman, and I don't think it's necessary.
It's not always consistent. It has a high probability, like 90% of the time I can get it right. There is some ambiguity.
I think, yeah, there are ways to tell, but then again, you can always be wrong.
What would you say I am?
Just judging off of your looks, I would say that you're a male. I would probably assume a man, but then you never know.
I'm male.
Why would you say that?
Based on how I look at you.
Do you think that's a problem?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think the difference between men and women matters for any reason?
No, not really.
I think most sociologists agree that the concept of gender is more of a societal construct.
I do think it matters somewhat, yeah.
To me, no. I don't feel as if it matters to me because at the end of the day, the person is just a person.
No. I don't think it should matter.
and the differences on a social level are simply a product of a biased society.
Then is there a reason to have those labels, male or female?
I don't think so. I think that it's, again, a social construct of this binary that we're given at birth. There is kind of a difference, but at the same time, if someone wants to identify as one or both or as nothing, I also find that completely okay.
There may be nothing more self-evident in the natural universe than the fact that every animal species is divided into two halves, male and female. Yet the most intelligent of those species seems to be wrestling with whether male or female are actually real things. Have we discovered something new, or have we become too clever for our own good?
Sometimes when I call a lady sir by accident, they get very offended.
Now, believe it or not, that's where we are. That's where our society is, and we're not new. If you study history, you know the old deal about if you don't study history, it's bound to repeat itself. And many, many civilizations have done this. I mean, and they've gone into oblivion. I mean, Dr. Dobson has an article about it, if you'd like to read it, about there's never been a civilization that blurred the concept between male and female and then survived out of it. But I want to talk to you today because the Bible says, I had another video of Tucker Carlson. You know, they've started something now called babies. If you saw that, instead of babies, where you can't name them a boy or a girl and until they're 4 years old, let them decide for themselves. Come on, somebody. Genesis 1:27, God said this. He created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And the way he does that, listen, there is an all-out attack of the devil against God. How many know the devil hates God? And one of the way that the devil attacks God is he attacks the image of God. And the image of God is the concept of male and female. And so the way the devil is attacking, the devil's tactic is to keep us so confused that we never walk in agreement with God, that there's male and female. And being out of order, we can never bring anything else into order. Does that make sense to you? When we walk out of order with God, by the way that God said, it wasn't society that put labels. It was God that created male and female, created he them. And we never experience the dominion God has given us because we're so confused and we don't walk in agreement with God. The devil is against the family the way that God created the family. He's always for all kinds of, you know, different adaptations of it. When Adam was alone, you never see, never hear the devil. When you read the Bible, God created Adam. He went and named animals. He did all this and that. Devil never shows up. But when he got married, come on somebody, the devil shows up and that's when all the problems occur in the Bible. The Bible says in verse 26, make man in our image. And most young men don't know how to be a man. Because the model and the role models that they have on TV. Listen, the biggest addiction of America is not drugs. The biggest addiction of America is media. Come on, somebody, the TV and phones and you name it, on and on. And the role models that are put forth by many of these places, especially the news you get on your phone. Most people, you know, don't read newspapers anymore. They get their news off their phone. But their phone is given either by some either CNN or Fox. Whatever it be, the news is filtered to us. And the role models that we have is absolutely unbelievable. One of the things I used to do is, in the absence of godly role models, many people have taken on the role models of the world. One of the worst things I used to when Ben was a young boy, I hated to bring Ben around a group of guys that were unsaved because most of them would always say, how many girlfriends you got, boy? How many girlfriends? As if his masculinity had to deal with how many girlfriends. Come on, somebody. How many girlfriends he had? And nothing new with his manhood, all that the Lord was doing. So Isaiah chapter 3, though, let me show you what happens in judgment when we begin to blur male and female concepts. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support. The whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. The mighty man and the warrior. Now watch this. One of the things that happens when you blur male and female, when you begin to believe that some society has brought that up, it's a bad concept, and therefore we need to do away with the idea of the differences between male and female, there begins to be a diluting of the warrior spirit of a nation. And the Bible says, God says, the mighty man and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, oh my people, their oppressors are children. How many believe that children are oppressing today? When you see gangs out on the streets, some of you, they're not out on the streets, so you left them at home this morning. Come on, somebody. And you're dealing with situations where the children are rising up and becoming the oppressors are children, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, these who guide you, lead you astray, and confuse the direction of your paths. When you listen to that, I'm going to tell you, most of that stuff these kids learn, they learn from their professors. Most of the stuff they learned in the colleges and da, da, da. So one of the keys is the foundations were the men of war. It was the warring spirit. Did I read verse 12? I did. Their oppressors are children. One of the keys about a nation is when you begin to blur the concept of male and female, when you begin to blur the gender identity and you begin to try to melt them together, what is going on today, the children are rising up and oppressing the older generation. Listen, when I was young, my mother let me know. She brought me in, she'll take me out. Come on, somebody. My mama, I mean, my mama's in heaven today. She was real little. My mom was a real little, like 5 foot something. But I'm going to tell you, none of us backtalked my mama. I remember I had a Baptist friend of mine said he had a little mama one time and he backtalked her and did something and he took off running. She went to get the switch. He said he hid under a big old bed. He said she lifted that mattress off, lifted that bag up and brought him out from under that. Come on. And there, listen, God is restoring a warrior spirit. It's like a rhinoceros spirit. I always say this. One of the keys and one of the tactics of the devil of blurring and blending the genders is to take away the warring spirit. That you look at somebody, you don't know if it's a Mr. or Mrs. or a mistake. You don't have any idea. And what happens is this, God is looking for a man, and I believe God's raising up back men and women again that know their role. God created men with a warrior spirit. You know, one of the keys was David. David was a worshiper, but David was also a warrior. You know, he was young and ruddy, he was beautiful looking, but he was a warrior. He threw a stone and hit Goliath in the head, then cut his head off. Listen, that was gory. There was blood everywhere. He was a warrior. And David was, in fact, one time he's out and before he became king over all Israel, and he's being very noble. He's being very a warrior, and he guards some shepherds that have their sheep out there. He guards these shepherds and doesn't let thieves and all break through. And the owner, he asked the owner of those sheep, "Can we have a sheep? We're hungry. We need some food." And the owner, Nabal, was a very unrighteous man and drunkard and all this, and just belittles David and says, "No, get away, who are you, blah, blah, blah." And David puts on a sword with hundreds of his soldiers and heads toward Nabal. He's going to kill him and all his family. Nabal's wife is Abigail. And I want you to watch this, ladies, because what I'm about to say is I'm not talking about any abusive. If you're in an abusive situation where your husband is hitting you, listen, you get out of there tomorrow, today. Don't even wait till tomorrow. You get out of your house. If your husband is hitting you, get out and go tell. I had a buddy of mine in South Africa. He had a church. He said, "Yeah, we've got a group of deacons. If a man hits his wife, we go beat him up." Come on, somebody. And that's the truth. He said, "Well, yeah, we go beat him up." But listen, so I'm not talking about if you're in an abusive situation, you get out today, take the kids out, you get away. But what I want to talk to you, listen, but if you're in a normal situation where you have your fights and you have your arguments and you all that, there's not, listen, watch this. Let me show you ladies something, how to do this and how to deal with this. Because a man is made by God to be a warrior. And Abigail hears about what's taking place and but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as he went about with them while we were in the fields. And they were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the time we were with them tending the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and hundreds of clusters of raisin, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. How many think they were pretty well to do? She said to her young man, "Go on before me. Behold, I'm coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. It came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down to the hidden part of the mountain, that behold, David and his men were coming toward her, so she met them. And David said, surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed, all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by morning I leave as much as one male, any of who belong to him. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, oh, on me alone, my Lord, be the blame. Please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words. Now watch this. This is how you deal with a warrior. If she had come with a sword in her hand and she's going to deal with this problem and she's going to confront him, it would have been a totally different story. But watch the wisdom of this woman, Abigail. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so is his game. No, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is his game. But I, your manservant, do not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. Now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in all your days. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself from my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until morning light as much as one male. Now I want you to see this, because David now is a warrior. He's in the warrior mindset. He's been insulted by Nabal. And now he's got his army with him. He's heading toward this. And had Abigail not used the wisdom and the ability that she has as a woman to appeal to David, instead of, as the world today is trying to get women to confront, to be assertive, to be all this and that. And Abigail, had she done that, she would have died that day. David was in a war. But listen, there's something about a man that when there is an appeal made for protection, because that's his heart, that's the way a man is wired, that's the way a man is made, he has to do something, and so he does it. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 3 says it this way. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word, without confronting, without asserting, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Listen, how many of you think of Roseanne Barr when I just read it? You think of Roseanne Barr when I just read that? No, I wouldn't think so. But listen, most women have learned today to be loud and confrontational. And they've learned it from the culture to fight for your rights. And who do you think? I wouldn't have. And you know, I like one said, was I wouldn't let no man do me like that. That's why she ain't got no man. Come on, somebody. And so, move right on. There's a Jezebel spirit. I say that with respect. There's a Jezebel in the Bible, but it was the spirit that was pushing her. Because when you read Jezebel in the Bible, she was a witch. I mean, she was a literal witch. That's why Elijah ran. You know, she would do it. She painted herself. She wasn't just putting on makeup. She was putting on stuff that they do for witches. And there was a spirit behind Jezebel. We call it a Jezebel spirit. It's a man-hating spirit. A Jezebel spirit is a man-hating. It's in our culture. There's a hatred of men being the way that God designed them to be. There's a hatred by the spirit. And Revelation chapter 2 says it this way. Says, but this I have against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. And she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira do not hold this teaching, and who have not known the deep things of Satan that they call them, I place no other burden on you. Now watch this. There are some deep things the devil uses, and one of those is a Jezebel spirit. And that is around our nation today. It is a hatred of the family the way that God created the family. It is a hatred of men being who men. It's a hatred of a woman being who how God made her to be. And there's a spirit that goes on because if a man behaves that way, there's a spirit in the world today that hates that. You know what? But one of the things I've learned is this Jezebel spirit have made women a lot like men. There's a blurring and a trying of combining the two genders. So there's no longer male and female. That literally our generation is being taught that they're just people. And so we need, you know, bathroom, you know, whoever can go wherever they want to go. And what comes along with this Jezebel spirit is the Ahab spirit. And when you read the story of Jezebel and Ahab, Ahab was just a little, fruity little guy that just followed behind Jezebel's thing. He cried, he wimped, he had no warrior spirit in whatsoever. And Jezebel ruled the roost in that, because listen, one of the keys is Ahab causes men to become so feminized that they're wounded and they can't war. They cannot be warriors. God made men to be warriors in the world. God, that's what he made us. You'll see some of the way he physically made us. Because men don't know how to crochet and do war at the same time. Come on, somebody. The devil hates God, and so what he does is he's attacking the male and female. The devil hates God, and so he's attacking the image of God. He does not want the image of God to be in the face of the earth. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. It wasn't some social thing. The devil hates God, and God made him male and female. And listen, if you buy into the idea that it's okay to the feminist movement and all this and that, you don't think it's affecting society. It's absolutely eroding the foundations of our society. The family, God built the family. The very first foundation was a family. It wasn't a church, it was a family. As goes the family, goes the church. You can't have a great church if your families are falling apart. That's why we took a whole month of dealing with the family issues, because that is a foundation. You know, it's amazing how we live in a world that's really crying for diversity. They want diversity. And yet the very thing that God made the most diverse, they're trying to dilute. They're trying to bring together. They're trying to make it one. And but we are becoming a unisex society. It was Dr. Dobbs, as I said earlier, that said you can trace every civilization. And when they begin to blur the lines between male and female, Rome did. You read it. Rome wasn't conquered from without. Rome was conquered. Rome fell from within. And study its sexual nature and what they did in the blurring of the male and the female roles. You know, now today you've got G.I. Joe, you've got G.I. Jane. Come on, somebody. You know what we do, what we're doing? We are castrating society. And I say that openly because we're doing that. We're taking the warrior spirit away from our society. I'm going to tell you one thing the Jezebel spirit hates is Donald Trump. The Jezebel hates Donald Trump. You know, I don't agree with everything like you don't agree with everything, but I'll tell you one thing. He's got the ant personality. You know, there's the driver personality. He's got the driver, the driver person where he just, you know, you get an ant. How many's ever been on a picnic and an ant will crawl up your leg going after your bologna sandwich? You ever had that? You weigh 50,000 times more than that ant. And that ant doesn't care because he's going for that's a driver personality within a marriage. And let me tell you, he's got a driver personality. I mean, I was flying back one time from Australia and there was a teacher on the plane with me. I remember she said, your elections are very exciting. Ours is so dull and we don't really enjoy it. But in America, it's really exciting. And I said, yeah, well, let's get there. But the danger of unisex society is that mothers kill their own babies. You know, there's not another species on planet Earth that the mother kills its baby while it's still in its womb. There's not one other species on planet Earth. You know what that is? That is that blurring of the lines where literally women are becoming warriors. And literally, I'm going to say women, success is being defined not by what they do in the home now, it's by what they do outside the home. And it causes women to develop relationships like a predator, just like men did. In days gone by, the vast majority was men being predators. How many women are like that way now? If you got daughters, listen, you got daughters, you better teach them not to be predators. You know why? Because that kills the warrior spirit in a man. Watch how this is going off like a lead balloon. Because this, if he does this, this, if a guy didn't have to go after anything and he wasn't working before you married him and you provided, you paid for the meal and you paid for the date and you paid for the car and you paid for the, how many know, well, after you get married, he ain't going to do that now. If you think somehow magically you putting a ring on his finger is going to cause him to go to work because he didn't do that before, he doesn't have to go because, listen, and people get married and the woman wonders why her husband didn't change because he's, listen, a man needs to go out. I remember when, Ben was dating Alyssa and, Ben went and, just how David, Alyssa's father, with wisdom, just, and Ben, I won't go any further. Ben just went after that as a warrior. And, but mother, let me tell you this, just check your daughters. There's not an, listen, they're not as innocent as you think they are. Woo, 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 woo. I say, I'm just a fill-in. I can say, oh, I'm just a fill-in. That's all I am. A guy will respond, listen, a guy will respond to a challenge. That's what David did with Ben. He made it a challenge. A guy will respond to a challenge. Listen, you tell your daughters, they don't want to date wimps. Tell them not to date a wimp. Not to date a wimp. They want a warrior, not a wimp. When he calls, teach her to say, all right, you got your car, but now you need to go get your haircut. And you need to pull your britches up. If you need to pull your britches up, all right? Well, by the time she's ready to get married, she's made a man out of him. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you a few things. Let me tell you one thing, one of the rules I had around my house. Let me just get, I wrote these down today. Listen, number one, if you pull in my driveway and honk your horn, you better be delivering a pizza. Cause you ain't picking nothing up. Come on, somebody. I'm aware that there is, consider fashionable to wear for boys of your age to wear their trousers loosely so that they appear to be falling off your hips. Please don't take this as an insult, but you and I and all of your friends are complete idiots. Come on, somebody. Still, I want to be fair and keep an open mind. So here's what my compromise I made is this. If you come to the door with your underwear showing and your pants 10 sizes too big, I'll not object. However, in order to assure that your clothes do not, in fact, come off during the course of your date with my daughter, I will make it my electric staple gun and I will fasten them securely to your body. In order us to get to know each other, do not talk to me about sports, news, whatever else. All I want to know is I want to hear the word early come out of your mouth, and that's how you're going to have my daughter back. I have no doubt that you're a popular fellow and many opportunities to date other girls. This is fine with me as long as it's okay with my daughter. Otherwise, once you've gone out with my little girl, you will continue to date my girl and no one else. If you make her cry, I will make you cry. All right, some months. As you stand in my front hallway waiting for my daughter to appear, and more than an hour goes by, and you guys were going to a movie, and do not sigh or fidget. If you want to be on time for a movie, you should not date my daughter. My daughter is putting on her makeup as a process which can take longer than the painting of the Golden Gate Bridge. let's just move right on. I remember there was one time a mayor of a large city and his wife were going to a social event. And as they were going, they realized the gas, the light came on. So they pulled into a gas station and the gas attendant's filling up the car. And all of a sudden, he recognized him. They went to school together. And so the three of them, the mayor and his wife and this gas. And then after they pull out and they start going, the mayor remembers she used to date him. So a big old smile comes on his face. He said, hey, I just remembered something. Aren't you glad you married me than you married him? And she said, no, not necessarily. He said, what? She said, oh, no. If I'd have married him, he'd been mayor and you'd been pumping gas. Number one country song of all time was Stand By Your Man by Tammy Wynette. She gives her test. She tells it took her 25 minutes to write and 25 years to defend it. She got attacked from every corner of the globe on Stand By Your Man. And a woman can hold a man in check. I mean, if you understand your role, you can hold a, I always say this, most young brides, they're looking at their husbands adoringly, but they have no idea all the stupid ideas he's going to come up with in his life. I don't know how many times we've had to call the fire department, and I was trying to fix plumbing. We had to call the fire department because I was trying to fix plumbing. How can you set your house on fire with fixing plumbing? Women are relational. Let me give you a few things. Women are relational. You know that more than men. That's why men do not like to go shopping with their... How many men do not like to go shopping with your wives? Come on, be brave, be brave. You know why? Because we go hunting. We're warriors. We go hunting. When we go shopping, we go hunting. I go with Jasmine and she drives on a dress. We're looking for a dress. Is that a dress? All right, faggot, let's go home. We got it. We're done. But she knows, she's touching them. She's feeling them. She's having a relationship with them. All I want to do is bag it and go home. That's what happens in a lot of relations in men and women. You know, the man, thy kingdom come. He's just ready to get it done. Let's move right on. We're going, a woman's more relational. We're going to slow down. If they'll go shopping for her, you know, I'm ready just to, you know, get it done. The problem is many cases, that it's that warrior spirit. Let's walk with, God made them male and female, made he them. One of the keys, wives, you got to realize, a man is made to protect you. So let him protect you. When he goes out and he tells you, man, when I checked the car, tires are good, got gas in it, I'll charge up your phone, he's on sentry duty. He's a warrior. He's protecting you and gassed up the car. Listen, instead of just saying, why don't you bring me a rose? Why don't you do something? He's protecting you. You ought to say, Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. And all right. But when there's no understanding, we just fight with each other. Why aren't you like me? Why aren't you like me? You know, when we were first met, it was a difference as that tract. I'm kind of shy, but look how I'm going. Man, I love that. 15 years into it, why can't you be more like me? Man, you're always talking. All you do is ever talk, da, da, da. And so what happens is the understanding Genesis says, male and female created he them. If we're going to walk together with God as Enoch did, we need to understand the differences. Next month is 21 days of prayer. And it's amazing because literally this and that are connected. And look at 1 Peter chapter 3. It says it this way. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding. Everybody say understanding. That means there's some things you've got to understand about your wife and wives. Some things you have to understand about your husband. Live with your wife in an understanding way, as with someone weaker. Since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So one of the things that can hinder your prayer is when you don't live with your wife in an understanding way. When all you do is put her down, when all you do is criticize, when all you think, man, when is she ever going to change? When is she going to become like me, da, da, da. And so one of the keys is you have to understand the differences. You know, there's a thing called incompatibility. That's one of the bases of divorce. Let me tell you, incompatibility is one of the greatest things for marriages. Incompatibility. I mean, I had a whole thing of personalities, but you can do that on your own. But incompatibility, not only is there a gender, we're going to gender differences, but there's personality differences. And I won't go into it, but there is four main personality differences. And one of those I love is the badger, which is the one, the ant is the driver. The badger is the one that likes to collect things. How many of you have a junk drawer at your house? How many have a junk drawer? How many have a junk closet at your house? How many have a junk attic at your house? How many of you have so much junk in your garage you can't park your car in your garage? Now, how many know that junk, when you put it in the attic, it multiplies, it grows, it breeds in the dark? But that's gender. But let me give you some gender differences. That there's personality differences, but let me give you some gender. Here's Better Homes and Gardens. It's absolutely correct because it's Better Homes and Gardens. Listen, men shopping, men, here's a little difference between men and women when you shop. Men are 70% less likely to clip coupons than women. Men are more impulsive in shopping. How many have ever taken your husband shopping with you, grocery shopping, and your bill is almost double what it normally would be? Because he's buying, he's grabbing. You know what? If something strikes them as interesting or challenging, be it yucky or ugly, consider it sold. Come on, somebody. You take them, they only know two types of meat, hamburger and steak. They don't read food labels or ads. They bother with shopping lists. They don't need shopping lists. We go down every aisle, we'll get what we need. They buy a lot of snacks, especially chips. Come on, somebody. Lots of chips. Men do not bother with nutritional labels, they're quick to substitute. They aren't fussy about expiration dates. You know, that's just some man-made thing. You know, who cares about that? They don't squirrel things away on items on sale. Be even toothpaste or toilet paper, it's purchased as an as-needed basis, and that's how they shop. They're far more brand loyal, avoids comparison shopping, and reaches even for the best pet food. If you're buying pet food, let's get the best one. Dr. Joyce Brothers said this. Here's the difference between men and women. Men change their minds more often than women. Men snore more, they snore more, and they fight more. Men have longer vocal cords. Men's nighttime, I'm going to tell you that in just a second. Men's nighttime vision is better than women. More men than women are left-handed. Men feel pain less than women, but show it more. Come on. Oh. Men talk about themselves less, but worry about themselves more. You know, a man, listen, when a woman is troubled, she talks. And one of the keys, men, you have to understand, she talks. She's not wanting you to fix it. She just wants to talk about it. She doesn't want you to fix it. But listen, guys, ladies, when a man is troubled, here's what he says. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you tell me? Why don't you talk to me? That a man internal, a man thinks, a man da-da-da. And listen, when you're talking to a man and you're pouring your troubles out, he's got the remote in his hand. And you think, you don't love me. You're not even listening to me. You're watching. You're turning that. Do. Listen, he's taking it in. That's why days later he'll say, I thought about what you said. I don't know what to do, but I thought about what you said. All right. All right. All right, let me give you some more gender differences. Someday, listen, we've got to be compatible. Jasmine, let me tell you what Jasmine, one thing, she thinks, I don't think ironing is, I think that was made by the devil. I think ironing was made by the devil. And one of the silliest things is we used to wear suits, and we used to wear three-piece suits all the time. And we got married, she would iron all, you know, I wore a vest. She'd iron everything out here and everything in the back. I said, you don't have to iron the things in the back nor down here. I got a vest on. Nobody can see it. She still ironed the whole thing. Sports, you know, she's not interested in some sports unless they tell the story about the player and his mama and where he came from and what he's been through. And that's why... American Idol, that's what they do, what they do. Money, my philosophy is, if you got it, spend it. That's why they made it. Jasmine is save. My vacation is, my idea is, let's leave tomorrow. Man, let's get some, I better get online somewhere, find some cheap tickets. Let's take off. Jasmine, we got to plan this thing. One time, I talked her into going to Europe, and this don't plan a thing. I remember we walked in the first hotel, $450 for the night. I said, keep walking. you can get this. Let me get this right off the internet or out of the library. What's this? The average woman speaks 20,000 words. The average man speaks 7,000 words a day. That's why when he comes home, he's used about, 6,000 of his words. And you've only used, you know, maybe half of yours. That's why, men, when you ask your wife, can you pass the butter? Lord, good Lord, all I asked was pass the butter, you know. 84% of domestic violence. Now listen to this. I'm doing this seriously. If you're doing abuse, if there's abuse in your house, you leave. That's one of the dividing line I do. If there's physical violence, if there's physical abuse, leave. Get somewhere safe. But let me just tell you some of the stuff why arguments. 84% of domestic violence is a man hitting a woman, not a woman hitting a man. And the reason is because it's not because he's strong, it's because he's run out of words. That may sound funny, but let me tell you. The last thing you need to do is you need to time when you talk to catch him. Don't try to do a lot of stuff when he comes home from work or late at night because he's out of words. A few words that might come out, he'll just shout, no, no, no. Catch him in the morning when he's got 7,000, so you can grab him when he's got 7,000. Romans 15 and 7 says this. Watch this. Romans 15 and 7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us for the glory of God. Everybody say accept. When God brought Eve before Adam, he accepted her. Male and female created he them. And he created them. And so one of the keys is you have to learn. Well, let me just give you some physical differences and we're going to end up this morning. There are physical differences. Whether those young college kids have any idea in their brain, God created male and female differently. Excuse me. And more than just, you know, the way you think. But let me give you a few of these things and then we're going to pray. When a baby is conceived, every cell in a girl's baby is totally different than every cell that's in a boy's body. The chromosome makeup is totally different. The girl has two X chromosomes that make up her cell. The boy has the X and Y chromosome that make up their cell. And that's part of the why a woman has a better immune system than a man. Right from the beginning when the cells begin to divide, that's one of the reasons women outlive men on an average of 8 years. That's the average. That's always different in situations. But on the average, a woman is going to outlive a man for 8 years. Women tend to deteriorate 2% physically every 10 years. Men deteriorate 10% every 10 years. And it speeds up after the age of 40. Come on, all the older people say amen, amen. Men age early but wrinkle later than women. Women have 4/5 of a gallon of blood in your body. Men have a gallon and a half. Men have 1 million more red blood cells in every drop of blood than a woman. That's one of the reasons why energy level in a man is more usually than a man can outwork a woman on any given day. A man, 40% of your body weight is muscle. Women, 20%. That's why I could probably out arm wrestle any woman in here because you got 20% and I have 40%. Women have added insulation cells right under their skin. That's part of the reason that they're smoother. There's another reason I'll give it in a minute, but that's why they can handle cold weather and easier to put on weight and harder to take it off because it's the way that they're made. All the women say amen this morning. Men's bones are heavier. Now, here's one you already knew. Men's skulls are thicker. I hold these truths to be self-evident. But probably the most significant way that is the way our brains are wired. For the first few days of our life, boys and girls are absolutely alike in the way our brains are wired. But after a few days, a chemical starts to flow through the body of a baby boy that does not flow through as it does in a little girl. And it's two of them, really. One is called testosterone. And as it starts flowing through the boy's little body, it begins to stamp various things throughout the body to be eternally different. But one of the significant things it does is a chemical, when it hits the brain of a male, it instantly destroys the connecting fiber between the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere, the majority of them. And so what happens is there is, instead of this thing going across, like our brain is wired this way, which means we use one half at a time. It also tends to shrink the left side of the brain. It causes a man to be lateral in thinking, which means a man tends to use one side of the brain at a time. A woman, because the connecting fibers have never been destroyed, both sides of her brain is going on all the time. Tell those college kids this. Both sides of her brain is happening at one time, and she can use it. A man knows things many times intuitively, we call it. A man likes the old ad machine, A, B, C, da, da, da. A woman does. She just knows it. You know, she just knows it. A woman has a radar system. It's all on all the time. And they're more sensitive and they pick up things. You know, us men go, well, what was it? Well, you dummy. You know, blah, blah, blah. Doctors observe boys and girls ages 2 to 4. Now, we just kept our grandkids. We kept a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 5-year-old. And the 5 and the 4 were boys. And the 2-year-old was a little girl. And we kept them for the last 3 days. Thank you, every young couple in this place. I salute you for staying awake this morning. And here's what we learned. The boys, I took them to bed, took them to Chuck E. Cheese. I took them to Chuck E. Cheese. I bought when your grandfather, you got more money. I bought the 2-hour unlimited pass. I just said, what do you want to play? I just hit that thing. You just touch it like that and they play. We take them home and, the two boys, they'd make, in 5 minutes. The little girl, 2 hours, she's sitting there talking. She's singing. She's not crying. She's just talking. La, 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 la. And, they did a psychologist. They did a test, and here's what they found: 100% the girls, 100% of the noise. They did the results. 100% of the noise of little girls had to do with conversation, either within themselves or to others. 100%. Boys, 60% of the noise they had to do with conversation. 40% were non-language sounds. That explains a lot of marriages today, you know. Some of that had to do with connecting fibers, the right side. Listen, guys, the next time your wife wants you to go to a flower show or something like this, I'm sorry, I got brain damage. I can't go to a flower show. At night, let me give you some difference. At night, when a man goes to bed, because of that, what happened to the brain, a man, when he's in his deepest sleep, 70% of his brain shuts down. Listen. When a man is in the deepest part of his sleep, 70% of his brain shuts down. That's why many wives think, you didn't even get up. You didn't even hear the kids crying. Like, you didn't even hear the kids. I'm deaf. My brain, 70% is shut down when I'm sleeping. When a woman is in her deepest sleep, 90% of her brain is still active. That's why she'll hear a baby crying in the night. Thank you for your enthusiasm. As I said, women have two X chromosomes. Men only have one. That's why when most men, that has to do with when most men dress like they just came from the Salvation Army. You're wearing that? You're going to wear that? We're going to go out and you're wearing that? That's why a man can wear the same thing 3 days in a row. Not even think about it. He's got to put his clothes back. I don't know if you know this, but before I got married, man, I'd wear the same thing for a month in a row. I wouldn't care. I just put the same suit on, put the same shirt on. I like brown. I like brown. I like yellow. I like yellow. I like that. I like that. And you know what? Because a woman can see far more colors than a man. We're a rainbow. We see the four or five colors. That's what we see. Women, because of the chromosome, they see more colors than men. That's what they don't mind. Does that match? That doesn't match. Who in the Lord told you that matched? Let me give you a good. We're about the end, but let me give you a real good. Let me get a few more. Women have a better peripheral vision than men. Women have 180 degree. They say majority of women have 180 degree peripheral vision. That's why a woman can be looking straight ahead and say, "You do that one more time, Johnny, you're gonna get a whipping over there." Yeah, blah 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 blah. The guy said, "What'd he do? What'd he do? What'd he do?" And because men have better long range vision. And that's the way God, because they were hunters. God created us to be warriors. And so we have a better long range. And that's why, you know, statistics tell us that, four times more men are broadsided in accidents than women because of the peripheral vision. That's why you have been driving. Look out, look out. Oh, he's a mile away from us. Come on. You just keep on driving it up. Men have better long-range vision. That's what makes them better night drivers. That's why they are better night. You ever been out with your wife at night? There's nothing wrong there. What in the world? What are you talking about? And statistics show that they have a better driving records at night than women have. Women have, have worse records at night. Men have better long-range vision. That's why men can't see things right in front of them. Where's my sock? Where'd you put my socks? They're right there in the door. No, they ain't. Where's my socks? You know, I tell men when they're doing that, back up about five. Oh, there they are. Yeah, I see them right there. Oh, yeah. Let me give you. They did a study in England, and they took 50 couples and they put them in an apartment and they had them make a supper together. And one of the tests they did was they took the thing of butter and they put it on the second shelf in the refrigerator on the very front. And during the supper, during we're eating, they instruct the wife to tell the husband to go to the refrigerator and get the butter. Guess how many husbands out of the 50 could not find the butter? 48 out of the 50 could not find the butter. Do you know why? Because when a guy, because it has to do with long range vision and peripheral. You know when a guy goes to the refrigerator, you know what he does? He opens it and he gets in like an umpire, you know, behind the plate. He gets in just like this. And he started looking, and because we got, and you know what happens? You'll see his head. His head's bobbing like one of those bobble things. 48 out of 50 could not find the butter on the second shelf in the refrigerator. So, he'd bob, if he just backed up about 10 feet, he could have probably seen it. But you know what happens? I ain't no butter anywhere. And here comes the wife. it's right here. She just takes it and puts, oh, okay, whatever, whatever, you know. But that's why, how many of you have your husband got to go find something in the refrigerator? He can't find it. And you have to go, you have to do what? On Tuesday, we do that continually. I mean, I go to the refrigerator, and I used to think it was just because she hid it from me. You know, she just hid things from me. But it has to do with, it has to do with a long range and peripheral vision. And they all do that. I mean, it's nonstop. And, so when you do that, a woman's skin is 10 times more sensitive than a man's skin. By God's design, a woman's skin is thinner. So women love to touch it, love to cuddle. Listen, when your wife comes and she starts cuddling all that, don't get to your brain, oh man, oh, heaven come. Now, if it was a cat, she'd do the same thing with a cat. She just do that. She just likes to touch. And they did a brain scan of men reading a newspaper, and they found out he was virtually deaf. Now this is true. Look, they did a survey of men reading a newspaper. And they found out he is virtually deaf when he and what it is this is when you understand that that a man is departmentalized. Let me just say this. You got a lot of doors in your brain. And the way a man, I'm going to call it here. The way a man works is when a man leaves one room, he opens a door and he shuts the door that he just came from and he's in a new room. So if he leaves, when he goes into the reading room, he shut the hearing room. He's operating on one side of the brain only. That's why he's sitting there reading, and he can be oblivious. The world can be burning down. He's oblivious. He's just sitting there reading. A woman, every door is open the whole way. Every door in her brain stays open. She walks in one room, the door stays wide open to the other room. That's why if a phone rings and a woman is feeding a baby, vacuuming, the dishwasher's going, TV's on, radio, da-da-da, a woman can go, hello, how you doing? Yes, how you doing? If it's a man and the phone rings, shut the TV off! Will you kiss me quiet in there? Hello, yeah, can I talk? Yeah. Because it distracts him. And a man can get distracted, da-da-da. Okay, I better end up. I can tell I'm going right on through there, all right? And so, you know, have you ever done this? Have you ever gotten a fight because your wife is talking to you and it made you miss your turn? You have been driving and your wife starts talking to you like yesterday. And it makes you miss your turn. Would you be quiet? I missed my turn now. We got to go all the way down here. And should I break the law and just slip around? And you made me miss. You know what? Because men have a disease. And let me tell you what the disease is. It's called the focus disease. Because men can only focus on one thing at a time. That's why one of the worst things a man hates this is when he gets his toolbox out and he's sitting there fixing the doorknob and you walk up to him and say, honey, you know, when you finish that, I've got the dishwasher needs it. Would you leave me alone? Would you let me finish this first? You know what? Because when I leave this room, I'll close that door and then I'll go to the next room. That's why you can, at dinner, you guys can fight and have, mean words. But then when he comes to bed, he closed that door and now he's ready for bed. But the wife left the door open. All her doors are open. What do you mean? You better. Blah, blah, blah. And let me just give you one word of advice, ladies. Do not hint with us. Do not hint around with your husband. I had a buddy of mine, he said he was driving and they stopped and got some coffee. And they got back on the road and da, 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 and about 30, 40 minutes later, the wife looks at the husband and says, hey, honey, you want any more coffee? He went, no, just keep driving. About 10 minutes later, he says something to the wife, I don't want to talk to you. What happened to you? I don't want to talk to you. What's wrong with you? She's hinted. He didn't know that she wanted coffee. We don't know that. You asked me if I wanted coffee and I don't want any coffee, so what's the problem? All right, everybody stand up. We go all day. Everybody stand up. Yeah, one of the keys about this is male and female created he them, all right? And God made male and female. He made you different. They can do one thing at a time. And just understand that. Don't buy into the world that blending the male and the female. And the very things that attracted you, let them attract you again. just begin to appreciate that she's outgoing and she's this and he's that and da-da-da and on, because God made you different. Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you? Won't you take your husband or your wife by their hand and just do this just for a moment? So, Lord, I just thank you for the wife or the husband you gave us. They're a gift from God. Lord, I thank you today for being different. I thank you today, Lord, that you made us who we are. Thank you, Lord, today that there is great, great strength in diversity, great strength in incompatibility. We're so different. We so need each other. We're so different. And Lord, I thank you for the difference between me and my husband, me and my wife. Thank you, you made her. Thank you that you gave me what I needed. You loved me so much, you made somebody totally different than me. You loved me so much, you gave me somebody totally different than me. That I'm not supposed to come to the place where we're so alike that there's never a disagreement. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the ability that you put in my wife, you put in my husband, and the creation, you made them a male or a female. And I honor that. I honor your creation. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said good amen today. Give the Lord a good clap offer. Would you do that? God bless you.